This is a true story taken from an actual medical file.
In a world increasingly divided by opposing ideologies, to a degree that even the Olympic Games, designed to perpetuate the brotherhood of man, are becoming a hollow mockery of their founders' wishes, it is still true to say that medicine knows no frontiers. Ideas, information, instruction between men of healing, these require no visas, no security checks, no secret codes. And sometimes, even more practical aid passes through the iron curtains of the world, as I found out from an American colleague a few weeks ago. The story he told me seems to have missed the headlines, and I think it's worth retelling tonight.
Hi, Joe. How you doing?
Yeah, I can't complain, you know?
Hey, how about that new ward sister, huh? What a dish. I wouldn't mind getting her alone in the...
Orderly, where the hell have you been? This patient's due in surgery. Now get that trolley down here right away.
Yes, ma'am. Some dish.
Well, she looked okay.
Look, I gotta go, Charlie. This ain't no ordinary surgical case. It's a kidney transplant.
Oh, I will. Plenty of those. What's the difference?
You don't understand, Charlie. This guy's getting a kidney from Moscow.
Medical File. Factual stories of the men and women whose vigilance guards our lives. A reconstruction of clinical case histories, step by step, with the doctors who were there. Medical File.
My story really begins last May, when Dr. Alfred Goldman, director of the Kidney Center in one of New York's largest hospitals, visited Russia. He'd been invited to look over Moscow's Institute of Transplantation, headed by the prominent surgeon, Dr. Valery Shumakov.
So, my friend, what do you think of it all?
I'm impressed. Very impressed. There's only one thing. I think our nurses are prettier.
You may be right. Possibly we prefer not to have any distractions from our work. Shall we go into my office?
Oh, thank you, Doctor.
Sit down, please, and we shall have some tea. Or would you rather have coffee, being an American?
No, tea's fine. One thing I noticed, though, you don't have many kidney transplants. It's my field, of course, so I'm particularly interested. I would have thought... If we had a place like this in New York, the majority of the cases would be kidney patients.
Really? That is interesting, Doctor. Here, they are only a small part of my work. In fact, as of today, we have, I think, only 3 kidney transplants in the Institute. You saw the patients yourself, of course. And another one due to be admitted next week.
Well, let me tell you that in the United States, there are close on 32,000 patients being kept alive by kidney machines. Of those, at least half are hoping for a transplant.
Here I should explain a little about the kidney machine, which has meant the difference between life and death for many sufferers. Briefly, once a kidney becomes diseased, a situation may arise where this kidney is past saving. In this case, it can be removed surgically, and the work of both organs left to the remaining one. The sound kidney generally hypertrophies, that is, it grows larger, and will continue to function quite satisfactorily on its own. Of course, if both kidneys reach a state of failure, the situation is much more serious. And indeed, before the introduction of modern treatments, the patient would usually die within a matter of weeks. The kidney machine is, in essence, an artificial kidney. And while the patient is connected to the machine, it performs the vital functions of this organ. Basically, blood is taken from the patient's artery, passed through the machine where waste products are removed, and then passed back to the patient along a tube leading to a vein. Because of specialized procedures and the cost of the machines, treatment is usually carried out in hospital and involves the patient spending 1 or 2 nights a week in the ward. However, for many young active people, this is an enormous drawback to leading a normal life. And it's hardly surprising that they would welcome an actual kidney transplant, despite the risks of any surgical procedure of this nature.
Yes, very good.
You don't mind it without milk?
Oh, no.
I had an eminent English surgeon here 2 months ago. He never stopped complaining about the tea.
Oh, well, the British are very funny about their national beverage. Most Americans take their tea without cream.
Cream? But it was milk that he wanted.
Yeah, we say cream, they say milk. It's all the same thing.
The English language. I can never understand.
You speak it very well.
It is necessary. It is the language of science, of medicine. Without it, we could not communicate. And we must communicate if we are to help our patients. And that is my first priority. I believe that the more information we can exchange, the better we can care for them.
That's great, Doctor. That's exactly how I feel. I don't mind telling you that some of my older colleagues gave me a hard time about this trip. One of those damned Reds got, you know, forgive the expression, that we haven't, you know.
We have the same thing here. Why are we sharing our knowledge with the American imperialists? They're fools.
And I'm glad we understand each other, Doctor.
So, to be practical, what can we do? What do you need that we have?
Oh, case histories, specifications of some of your equipment. I can make you a list a mile long.
You do that. I shall also have one for you.
Good. But, of course, the thing we need most of all... No, how could you? It's kidneys.
You mean...
We simply don't have enough donors available. There's so many legal obstacles. Quite rightly, in a way, because it could be so easily abused. People don't think of these things when they're well and healthy. It is, to be honest, one of our continuing problems. Now, it struck me, when we were talking earlier, that you would probably have less difficulty in obtaining the organs and...
Because we are a socialist state where people do as they're told.
No, I didn't mean that. I think people here are more aware of their responsibilities. They're interested in medical research Yeah, I guess a little of that thinking did enter my mind, too. I'm sorry.
Don't be. Whatever the reasons, we do have organs available for transplant. More than we need. And it will be my pleasure to see if we can make them available to you and your American colleagues. How's that?
That's fantastic. But won't there be a lot of problems, just the sheer logistics of getting the organs from here to there?
Let's find out, shall we? As a first step, I will undertake to send you a healthy kidney. Then we'll see how it goes. Would that be, as you say in America, okay?
Indeed it would, Doctor. Indeed it would.
When Dr. Goldman returned to New York, he gave a full report of this conversation to the head of the special surgical team at the hospital, Dr. Richard Hackenbeck. Hackenbeck, a brilliant surgeon, routinely performs more than 100 kidney transplants a year. And he wasn't altogether hopeful about Shumakov's plan.
Well, I don't know, Al. It's a hell of a long way to send it. To say nothing of the hassles there are bound to be at the airport. I mean, what are the customs officials going to say? They'll probably call in the CAA to check it out, and by the time we've got it through customs and the red tape, you'll forgive the pun, you can forget about trying to do a transplant.
I realize that, Richie, but I think we can work round it. If we know the kidney's on its way, I mean. Otherwise, can you see any objections?
No more than the usual ones. As you know, the odds of any kidney transplant are usually no better than 50% that it will take anyway.
Yeah, except that. But as long as we have time to type the organ, we should be able to get a pretty good match.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as if we've got any shortage of patients.
A word of explanation about tissue typing is necessary here. As most of us know, the problem with all organ transplants is that of rejection. Basically, any foreign tissue or substance introduced into a body will prompt the body to reject it. The process is the same whether the foreign body is a mass of bacteria or another person's heart or kidney. The body of the recipient reacts to produce large numbers of white blood cells, which invade the foreign object and reject it. Now, the same problem would occur in blood transfusions were it not for the fact that for a long time, blood has been typed into groups, which are carefully matched to a recipient before transfusion. Likewise, it was concluded that tissue groups, similar to blood groups, would go a long way to avoiding rejection problems. And today, these tissue groups are known and can be detected, so that the chance of transplant rejection is greatly reduced. But nevertheless, to many more conservatively minded surgeons, Dr. Valery Shumakov's offer must have seemed doomed to failure. He and Dr. Goldman continued to correspond, exchanging ideas and information, and then, a few months later, on a busy Moscow street...
Look out! Get out of there! Excuse me, my friend. You're the boy's mother?
No, I am his aunt. His mother died when he was small. I look after him. Doctor, how is he?
I'm very sorry. There was massive damage to the head. There was nothing we could do.
He is dead.
Yes. Madame, I'm sorry to have to bother you at this time, but... Yes. First, let me introduce you to Dr. Shumakov.
Yes.
He has something to ask you.
Madame... Believe me, I'm truly sorry to have to intrude upon your grief. But there is no time.
I don't understand. The boy is dead. What else is there to do?
That is just it. We want your permission to take his kidneys, to use them to give life to someone else. Will you let us do that? It must be done now, you see. There is not a second to lose.
You will have to ask his father.
But I thought...
You mean you're not his legal guardian?
No, I told you. I look after the boy.
Where is his father now, madame?
Away on a business trip. I'm not sure I know how to reach him.
Hello? Yeah, sure, you woke me up. What else do you expect at 4 o'clock? Who? Who is this? I don't know anyone. Dr. Shumakov. You're a friend of Dr. Shumakov. Oh, that's different. I'd like to talk with you, so why don't you call me at... You what? No kidding. He did it. You mean that kidney is really on its way?
The last 24 hours had been the busiest in Dr. Valery Shumakov's life. Fortunately, the Institute had been able to get in touch with the 14-year-old victim's father, and his permission for the removal of his son's kidneys was granted. Dr. Shumakov prepared to transplant one of the kidneys into a Soviet recipient and gave careful directions to his chief assistants to package the other kidney for shipment to New York. Carefully preserved in sterile solution and wrapped in plastic bags and ice, it was placed aboard the regular Moscow-New York Aeroflot jet.
Hi. Hey, what time in the morning you call this?
Sorry to get you up so early, but as I said on the phone, we haven't got much time. Once we get that kidney back here, we have to move fast.
Hey, you're pretty excited about this, aren't you, Al? Did they call you from Moscow?
No, there were too many delays in the international phone service.
Huh.
He contacted someone in the Soviet embassy, some kind of diplomatic hotline, I guess. A friend of his, and this guy rang me at home.
Who was it? The donor, I mean.
A young kid, 14, knocked down by a car.
Too bad.
Right. Now, we'll need an ambulance to meet that jet and rush the kidney back to us here. Would you fix it?
Yeah, sure. You want police escort?
No, I don't think so. Just ask them to get you Kelly. That guy could drive to hell and back faster than it takes me to get my car out of the parking lot, and a lot more safely.
Rushed from the airport to the hospital, the kidney was immediately bathed in nutrient-rich fluid and then typed so that Dr. Goldman could choose a recipient whose body tissue matched it.
Well, there's your list, sir. 198 of them.
No idea there were so many. Let's see... I'd prefer a youngish candidate. Do you have the cards?
Oh, yes, sir. These ones at the front are priority.
I see. Yeah, possible. No, I think not too much risk. Ah. How about Serrano, Jose Serrano, 32, construction worker. He should have a fair amount of stamina.
Well, he's not a construction worker anymore, sir. He's alive only because he's hooked 3 times a week, 4 hours a day, to the dialysis machine. Both kidneys, you see, are incurably diseased.
So he has nothing to lose, really.
You wouldn't say that if you knew him, sir. He's always laughing and joking when he comes in for his treatment. He really has a wonderful spirit.
Is he indeed? Okay, doctor. That's our man.
Jose, wake up.
Sorry, ma'am. I must have fallen asleep. It's so hot today. I'll open the screen door.
Don't worry about that. You have to go to the hospital. They just phoned.
Hey, what for? My treatment day is tomorrow. They've made a mistake.
No, Jose, it's not for treatment. They're sending the ambulance right away.
Hey?
They say they want to do an operation. They found a donor. Oh, Jose, my son, I'm so afraid.
Afraid? Oh, Mama, this is the best news I've had for years. Hey, don't cry. Don't you know what this means? I have a chance to lead a normal life again.
And so, less than 48 hours after that young Russian had been fatally injured in the streets of Moscow, Jose Serrano was wheeled into the operating theater.
Okay. How is he?
All yours, Richie.
Okay, Les. All right, team, let's go. And remember, Leonid Brezhnev is watching you. Scalpel, please, sister.
Scalpel.
The technical difficulty of removing a kidney and replacing it with another is not very great. There is one large artery, the aorta, conveying blood to the kidneys, and one vein, the vena cava, taking it away. The artery, in turn, has two branches, one to each kidney, called the renal arteries. And likewise, there are two branches to the vein, also one to each kidney.
Clamp, please.
Clamp.
There. Okay, sister, let's have it.
Well, it's like any other kidney to me.
Yeah. What do you expect? A hammer and sickle tattooed on it? And forceps, sister.
Forceps.
Hey, how's he doing there?
Fine, fine. No problem, mind.
Okay. Keep it that way, huh?
Once the renal arteries and veins have been severed, the corresponding vessels on the new kidney have to be firmly connected to the patient, and the ureter of the new kidney has to be attached to the bladder. The problem is thus not so much one of surgically placing the new kidney as of ensuring that it stays there afterwards and is not rejected.
That seems to have got it. Yeah, that's it. George, close up, will you?
Yeah, sure. Right, sister. Swab, please.
Swab.
Still happy, Liz?
Model patient. How much longer?
About 10-15 minutes, depending how good George's cross stitch is these days. Well, I could do with a drink.
Vodka on the rocks, anyone?
Hackenbach and his team were only too well aware that the next 24 hours could be critical for their patient and his Russian kidney. Not only were there the usual risks of rejection, despite the careful cross-matching of types, but they had no means of knowing whether the kidney had been in any way affected by the traveling time before it could be reconnected to its new host.
So how is he?
Pretty good. You picked the right man. No signs of post-operative shock.
That's not what I mean.
Well, there's no rejection so far. I'll check again in an hour's time.
Thanks, Richie. I'm sorry to seem so anxious. Heaven knows you've done hundreds of transplants, but...
But this one is special. I know. Well? Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. It's only, 12 hours after surgery, and already Jose's new kidney has produced 5 liters of urine. As far as we can tell, it's functioning quite normally. I think we made this one.
Great. Thanks, Richie. Look, don't go away.
Hmm?
Laura, I want you to get a Moscow telephone number for me. Yeah, I said Moscow. Hang on, I'll give it to you. Richie,
huh?
I'd like you to speak to Dr. Shumakov. After all, you did the up.
There was no doubt that the transplant was technically successful, although both Drs. Goldman and Hackenbach were aware that there was still a very real danger that could arise days or weeks later, when antibodies have been formed specifically to react with any of its proteins that are strange to the recipient. If the differences are extensive, the transplanted kidney will cease to function and die. However, Jose Serrano continued to make excellent progress, and by the week's end was well on the way to recovery with no signs of rejection.
Well, Mrs. Serrano, what do you think of your son now?
Oh, he's wonderful, Doctor. He's looking so well, so happy.
Of course I'm happy. I know I'm not having to come back here anymore 3 times a week for that old machine. Yeah, he can work again, Mama.
Yeah.
You know what that means?
Oh, we'll be having you back for tests from time to time, Jose. You're not getting away from us as easily as that. After all, you're something of a celebrity now.
Yes, he certainly is. Hello, Jose. And Mrs. Serrano.
Hello, Doctor.
I'm Dr. Goldman.
Hello, Dr. Goldman.
So, how does it feel to have a kidney from Moscow?
Well, I tell you, Doc, I'm not speaking Russian yet, but otherwise it's great. Really terrific, eh?
I wanted to meet you, Jose, and I thought you might like to see this. It's a letter from Dr. Shumakov in Moscow. And, he says, I must congratulate your surgical team on their success. Also, I send greetings to your patient and wishes for his speedy recovery. The aunt of the boy who died also sends her good wishes. Despite her sorrow, she is comforted by the knowledge that her nephew's death was not in vain and has brought a new life to a fellow human being.
Yeah, that's a wonderful letter, Doctor. Do you think I could have a copy of it? To keep, you know.
Yes, of course. You know something, Jose? Although this transplant seems so special now, I'm hoping you're going to be the first of many, many more.
Of course, time is the final arbiter in any transplant. But as of today, Jose Serrano is alive and well, and leading a normal life with his kidney that came, as he happily says, from Russia with love. His doctors are equally elated.
After this, I look forward to a day when transplant organs, hearts, kidneys, lungs, livers even, are regularly shuttled across the seas to fulfill needs wherever they exist. What better way to bring the world together than through medicine?
I think that's a sentiment all doctors would heartily support. And in Moscow, Dr. Shumakov had the last word on this encouraging example of medical detente.
An exchange of kidneys, to me, is something more practical and more tangible than all the exchanging of delegations in the world.
Medical File, the documented story of the men and women who in hospitals, research centers, and lonely surgeries guard our lives. Listen again next week for another true story from Medical File.